Good morning, everyone. We come here to our morning service at Calvary Baptist Church of Prayer. Also, welcome all those faithful with us via internet and also FM signal here in town, 88.7. Please open your hymnal to number 40. Great is thy faithfulness. Number 40. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, and to me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence you cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Pastor, I'll bring prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this morning that we have a God who is faithful. Thankful that we have a God who is faithful even though we are not faithful. That we can know the forgiveness of sin because we have a God who promised to send a Savior. Thankful for reminding us in thy word that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that we must turn to thee in repentance and trust in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, to be forgiven and saved. We're thankful that this salvation is available to all people. We pray for anyone listening today that's not saved, that they might see their need to turn to thee in repentance and be saved, through the blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the opportunity of reaching out through our internet, and we pray that those that are listening via live stream would also be blessed, and we pray for our services we have with the Filipinos, that we can be a help to them to know thy peace and truth in their lives as well. We thank thee for the technology we have that we can use for thy glory, and we pray that we'd be faithful in reaching out and helping people to know thy truth. Bless our time together here. We thank thee for providing us a place to meet, and may thy will be done here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And over to 209. Grace greater than our sin.
Grace that will pardon and cleanse with.
to 398. Follow on. 398.
And turn to the book of the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, we're going to begin reading there at verse 1. And read through to the end of verse 5. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake." Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this morning for thy word. We're thankful again that thou hast told us that thy word is truth. And thou hast preserved it from this generation and forever. We can know the truth. And as we look into the book of Revelation, we see a lot of things that are coming in the future yet. And we pray that as we look at these verses, that we would have an understanding of thy greatness, thy authority, thy power, and how important it is for us to know thee and to follow thee. We realize that what we're reading here is things that are happening that are not going to be pleasant upon this earth. And we pray that many people would see the need to be saved now so that they can be spared this judgment that's coming. We thank thee for thy mercy and grace towards us, and pray that we would allow thee to teach us as we look into these verses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now again, as we look at the book of the Revelation, and just by way of reference again, as we look at our chart that we have here, we have come through this section of the book of the Revelation thus far. We've come through all the way up to here. And in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation, as it says here, Christ is described. He's in heaven. And John is given a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and the greatness of him and his authority. Then we have in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of the Revelation, we have seven churches that were in Asia Minor that Jesus spoke of. And he had something to say to each one of them and the things that they needed to do in order to meet his approval. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the head of every church. I'm the pastor here, but I'm not the head of this church. Jesus Christ must be. If he's not, we're in trouble. But he needs to be in charge, and we need to follow him. So then John is invited up to heaven after the end of chapter 3. And so he goes up to heaven in the Spirit, and in chapters 4 and 5, he sees what's going on in heaven. And then in chapter 6, we begin to look at the judgments that God is going to bring upon the earth. And we said that the first seal that was opened, the book with seven seals, is a rider on a white horse. And that rider on the white horse is the Antichrist. And he will come in, as it says there, he comes in on a white horse. And in the Bible, a white horse is often a depiction of royalty, of someone who is great. They have a white horse. Other people don't have a white horse. But this Antichrist, when he comes, he is going to be presented to the world as the one that is going to fix the problems. Now, he's called the Antichrist because he is against God. He is going to set himself up as Christ, as the Messiah, and as God, and he's going to try to force everyone to take his mark. He's going to come in, the Bible says, with a bow, but he doesn't have any arrows. So he comes in with the symbol of power, but he has no arrows, but he's going to use deception. The Bible says that he's going to deceive the world with lying signs and wonders. So if the rapture, and that's the next event that we're looking for, in Christians are looking for, I should say, not the world, but Christians are. We're looking for that time when Jesus Christ is going to come back in the clouds. And he is going to come back. That's not a fiction. That's not mythology. Jesus Christ is coming back in the clouds, and there's going to be a trumpet sound. And all the true Christians of the New Testament era are going to be removed from this earth. The Christians that have died will be resurrected out of their graves, will receive their new bodies, and those Christians that are alive at that time will also receive new bodies, and together we will all meet the Lord in the air. The world, from everything that we read, is not really going to notice much about this. First of all, there aren't that many true Christians on the earth. The news media would have us believe that there are many, but most of the Christians the world talks about are Catholics, and Catholics are not Christians. And so the Christians will be removed from this world, And the Antichrist will be ushered in as the world leader. There will no longer be a need for a prime minister in Canada. There won't be a need for a president of the United States. There won't be a king in England. There will be the Antichrist. Now, he may have some puppets underneath him governing certain parts of the world. But when we read about the seven seals there, we find that the world is going to be drastically affected when the Antichrist comes on the scene, but the world is going to be affected by God. God is the one who is going to be, Jesus Christ is going to open this book with seven seals and pour out judgments upon the world. The Antichrist, when he comes in, is going to come in and try to be a peacemaker. He's going to try and present himself as the one who can fix all the problems of the world. And we have noticed in most of my lifetime, probably longer than my lifetime, the United States has been actively involved in trying to bring a peace treaty between Israel and its enemies in the Middle East. Every president of the United States has been trying in one way or another to try to bring peace to that region of the world. They have not succeeded. They never will succeed. But the Antichrist is going to come, and he is going to make a covenant with Israel. And he's going to build the temple in Israel. He's going to set up the priesthood and all the rest of that. But all of that is going to be illegitimate in God's eyes. It'll be there. It's going to be used, but it's not of God. And it is important for us to know the truth. There's a lot of things going on today, a lot of religion today that is not of God. How can I say that? I can say that because I have a Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. So we can examine everything that's going on by the Bible. You can examine what I say here by the Bible. It's the Word of God. And that's important that we understand that. So, as we have come through the six seals, and we're in the seventh seal, coming to the seventh seal now, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 8. And then we're going to have after that we have the seven trumpets, and then we have the seven vials. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen on this earth and in heaven in a seven-year period. That's what the tribulation time is. It's a seven-year period. It's not here now. We are seeing things today that are pictures of some of what's going to happen in the tribulation, but we're not in the tribulation now. In the Second World War, when Hitler was the ruler of Germany and when he was trying to take over the world, people thought he was the Antichrist. He wasn't the Antichrist. He was an Antichrist. But he was not the Antichrist. And so there's a difference in that. And so as we look at what's going on, and people have been afraid in the last 3 years, as we talked about in Sunday school, they were wondering, are we in the tribulation? Is that what's going on? And no, we're not in the tribulation. We have had the governments trying to force people to take the shots. But again, they could not force anybody. Many people took the shots. People said they were forced, but nobody was forced to take the shot. Yes, there are people that lost their jobs because they wouldn't take the shot, but they weren't killed. Some people were in prison. Some people were fined. But they're still alive, and they're still able to function. It's made life more difficult for some people. But the government cannot force us to do things like that. They can't. They can imprison people, and they have done that, and they will do some more of that, but that still doesn't force us to have to do what they say. We still have the ability to say no, and that's what most people don't understand. And when you don't have the Bible, and you don't have the God of the Bible as your God, you don't understand the authority that we have in Christ. And that's important to understand that. We don't need to be rebels. We don't take up guns. We don't use knives to threaten people. We stand upon the Word of God. And that's important to know, what is God saying? What is God doing? How do we fit into what God is doing? And unless we know the Lord as our God and Savior, we'll never know that. So again, as most of my messages are, three-point messages. So the first point that we have here, and I don't know if I gave the title or not, but the title is God's Judgment Cause Silence in Heaven. God's judgment causes silence in heaven. So the first point that we have is silence in heaven. In verse 1 it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." In chapter 7, if you think back, we noted in chapter 7 that there was crying in heaven, there was a loud voice in heaven, there was praise of God in heaven, and so it was loud in heaven in chapter 7. The saints in heaven were praising God, recognizing salvation is of him, and in verse 12 it says, they were saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And the elders joined in on that, and there was a praise and worship going on in heaven. But now in chapter 8, as God is again focusing on the earth and showing in this seventh seal that's going to be opened, there's silence in heaven because the saints in heaven, they can see what the seventh seal is. One of the things that we understand from the Bible is that those that are in heaven, they are conscious. They're not sleeping. They're awake. They know what's going on. And in this particular case, John is being given a view here of something that has not happened yet. It hasn't even happened today yet. These seven seals that we're looking at there, they have not been opened yet. But John was given this vision of these things and also the seven trumpets and the vials. None of that has happened today. But God told John to write these things down for the people of his day and also for us today. Every day we are coming a little bit closer to the time of the rapture, the time when Christians will be taken out of this world. We don't know how long we have yet on this earth. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we know that we're coming to the end. We know that because God says we're living in the last days, and we know that the last days will be noted by perilous times. And as we look at our world today, we can see that there are perilous times around us today, and things are getting worse, not better. Crime is on the increase, and there's all kinds of destruction taking place, trouble in the world, and that's increasing. And the world doesn't know what to do with it. If you've noticed in the news, you know that there were wildfires in the west earlier on this year, and then they moved to the east and into Quebec, and there are wildfires burning all over the place. Some of those fires were deliberately set. Some of those fires were the result of lightning. But those fires, the governments of our country, they don't know what to do. They can't fight them. They don't know how to fight them. They can't put them out. They're waiting for rain to slow down the fires and to put them out. We don't have the equipment to be able to stop those fires. And I believe, as I mentioned in a devotional I sent out this week, that these fires are a picture of the judgment of God upon us as a nation. And these fires are a reminder of we are not in control, and there's many things that we have no way of stopping. And this is just a picture of what's coming in the last days that are known as the tribulation time. So these are warnings to us of the need to know the true God. And there's a lot of destruction happening with these fires. But what people are not recognizing is there's a bigger fire that has taken place in Canada for a long time, and that is the murder of unborn children, and now lately the promotion of the sodomite agenda. Those are fires that are burning, that are destroying lives, and they are destroying the fabric of this nation. And God cannot bless a country that openly defies him. So as these saints in chapter 8 are looking upon this seventh seal that's going to open, and they understand the judgment that's coming, there's silence in heaven. Christians do not rejoice to see other people suffer. Christians are not looking to destroy other people. Christians want to help other people know the truth. Lost people, they want to get revenge. You hurt me, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to get you back worse than you got me. That's how lost people think, but not Christians. That doesn't mean that Christians can't defend themselves, but our desire as Christians is to see other people saved and know God's peace. And so here in this opening of the seventh seal, there's silence in heaven, the space of half an hour. Now, we're not told what the significance of that half an hour is, but a half an hour is not a very long time. The tribulation time is 7 years. That's also not a very long time. Most governments last more than 7 years. And so that's a short time. And also the half hour. Our service here, our morning service, was 45 minutes. This one is going to be about an hour. So that's not a very long time. Some people think that's too long, but that's not a long time in the scheme of things. And a half hour here, there's silence in heaven as God prepares to bring this judgment upon the earth. And then the second thing that we see here is there are seven trumpets that are going to announce greater trouble. It says in verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now, we've said before that oftentimes in the Bible, the number seven is used to speak of God and of his perfection. The seventh seal is the last of the seals. And so that's an ending of that set of judgments. And then we see that there are seven angels, and these seven angels are given seven trumpets. So this is a picture again of this is coming from God. This is his number, and it's a number not always in the Bible, but oftentimes used to describe God and his perfection. So I watched a documentary recently of a well-known trumpet player. And this man, he's still alive today. He's in his 80s now. And in that documentary, this man talks about his struggles in life and how that he was and still is. I watched him in the documentary. They show him playing the trumpet. And he plays it with such ease. It's an effortless, it's like he's just breathing. There's no effort being put in that you can see in the pictures anyway, that this man has to work hard to play the trumpet. Now, he's a lost man, and his music is ungodly music, but it was an interesting documentary because it talked about how that this man, how that he became famous with his trumpet, and yet he wasn't happy. It says that he married when he was 20, and he figures that he was too young when he married this woman, and I don't know, didn't say how many years he was married to her, but they eventually divorced. And I guess he had another woman that I don't know if he was having an affair with or not, but it talks about in that document that he went to that other woman and said, "I can't live without you." And so eventually, from what I understand, they got married, and they're still married to this day. And as I said, he's in his 80s. And he has given hundreds of thousands of dollars away to different art schools and different things like that because he believes that if he can get young people involved in the arts, that's going to keep them from getting into trouble. Well, that's not the solution to man getting into trouble because man is born in trouble. Man is born as a lost sinner. And there are many people today who think if they can just get their children involved in the arts or in sports or something, that they're going to be good people. that doesn't make a person a good person. I don't watch hockey anymore, but I used to. But in hockey, there's a lot of fighting. And if you get into the NHL, even there, there's fighting. And they have, some people, they have a vendetta out against a certain player because they don't like how he plays. So they try to injure that person so they can't play anymore. That's in hockey. And yet hockey is being used by many people as saying, if I can just get my child involved in hockey, and if they can be a good hockey player, that's going to be good for them. Well, there's fighting in hockey. There's a lot of immorality in hockey. There's a lot of drug abuse in hockey. There's a lot of other abuses going on in hockey. So this man who thinks that he's going to save a certain segment of society if he gives a lot of money to different causes, he's fooling himself. But he still hasn't found, he's over 80 now, he still hasn't found that missing piece of the puzzle. And he never will, unless he gets saved. Because that's the missing piece of the puzzle that every individual is born with. But the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. But when Adam sinned, that image was corrupted. And Adam no longer had that close relationship with God that God created him with. And you and I are born as lost sinners. And we don't have that relationship that we need to have with God because we're born as lost sinners. And there are people in our world that are looking for that lost peace. There's a lot of different religions. Why are they all there? Because people are looking for that peace that will connect them to their imaginary God. Why do people get involved in drugs? Why has gambling become such a popular thing in certain segments of society? Why is the liquor business doing so well? Why is there illicit drugs being used by people? All of this is because people are trying to find that missing piece that they cannot find. And they never will find it through those avenues. And the Bible says, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the rock that he's speaking of there is himself. He is the rock upon whom we need to build. And unless a person turns to God and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, they don't have that missing piece. They cannot know the peace of God. They cannot know the blessing of God. And that's important to understand that we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We don't know him by having some kind of a vision. We said that John was given a vision, but we need to understand that when the Bible was being written, it was not a completed book yet when John was on this earth. He wrote the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. He was given the words for that book from God. And because it was not finished yet, he was given a vision showing him things that he needed to write down. The Bible is complete now. There's no more being written. The Catholic religion teaches that when the Pope sits in his chair in Rome, and he speaks from that chair that he is speaking the words of God. That's not true. He's not speaking the words of God. When I read the Bible, I'm speaking the words of God. What I'm saying to you now is not the words of God. I'm preaching to you about things in the Bible, but my words are not inspired. And that's important to understand that. God's word is inspired. Preaching is important because preaching is helping us to understand, true preaching is helping us to understand what God has said. But only God's word is inspired. I will make mistakes at times. I will say things wrong at times. But God's word is never wrong. That's important to understand that. So, as we look at these angels here, seven trumpets are going to announce further judgment that's coming upon the earth. That's what they're announcing. And they are going to be loud because a trumpet is loud. And it is going to, these trumpets are going to announce these judgments that are coming under the seventh seal. So in that seventh seal, it describes in the last part of this chapter what's coming. So it's important for us to understand that God always warns about judgment that's coming. Adam knew before he sinned, he knew that he was not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew that. He chose to disobey God and eat that fruit. Because of that, he became a sinner, and we're sinners. Cain in chapter 4, he knew that he needed to bring a proper offering to God, a blood sacrifice to God. He chose not to. He brought vegetables. God said, no, I'm not going to accept that. And then Cain hated his brother. God warned him, told him, don't do that. You're sinning. Your anger's going to get a hold of you. Turn from your anger. Cain didn't listen. He murdered his brother. God warned him about that, and then God judged him after that and put a mark on him. Before the flood came, in Noah's day, Genesis chapter 6, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He warned the people that there's a judgment coming. The Bible tells us that. The people didn't listen. The flood came. The people perished. All the animals that were not in the ark, they perished. The dinosaurs, there were dinosaurs in the ark as well. So the dinosaurs did not die out with the flood. We don't see dinosaurs roaming in Canada, but there are parts of the world, tropical parts of the world, where they still speak of large animals today that we don't have in Canada. They're rare today because the climate changed after the flood. Our government goes around talking about climate change. They talk about man-made climate change. They said we got to get rid of fossil fuels. We've got to stop having cattle. We've got to stop using nitrogen. They're deceived. They don't know what they're talking about. But they think that it's we that are causing the climates to change. It's not us that are causing the climates to change. It's God that's in charge of the weather. And the climates that we have are because this is what God is giving us. And so if we want to have different climate, we need to know the true God first of all. But these things that are happening in our world are beyond the control of man. So all the taxes that our government is raising through these climate taxes, there's just more money for them to blow. It's been reported that our prime minister, since he became the prime minister, has spent $75,000 on his vacations. That's not including the food that he eats. That's not including the security that he has and so on. I don't know what that all includes, but there's a lot of extras besides that. That's in 8 years. Think about that. In the last 8 years, how much money did you spend on vacations? I know for us, it's nowhere near $75,000. And our prime minister says, well, that's peanuts. That's just a very little bit of money. He doesn't have any understanding of the value of a dollar because it's all given to him. But you see, that's the world. The world is so twisted, so messed up, they can't relate to reality. And so we need to have God's word. We need to understand and study God's word in order to be able to understand what's God doing and what is my part in the midst of what God is doing. And so, again, as we look at chapter 8, this is during the time of the tribulation. This is after the rapture. So, at this time, as we noted in chapter 7, God is going to choose out 144,000 Jewish men, who are going to be saved men, who are going to be on this earth to evangelize the world during the time of the tribulation. But there will be no Christian that will enter into the tribulation. When the tribulation starts, all the Christians will be removed from this earth by God. And so, as I mentioned before, if the tribulation were to happen in the next while, this building will probably still be here, unless a fire destroys it or something. But the doors will be locked, and they will have to break in to get in because there will be no one here to open it, because there will be no true church on this earth when the rapture takes place. No Christians and no true church. The building will be here, but nothing will be happening here because God is going to remove us. But as this angel, these angels are, or as John here, sorry, is writing about these angels, this is during the tribulation time, and he's announced, these angels are going to announce further judgments that are coming upon the earth. So then the third thing that we see here is the golden censer. And in verse 3 it says, "And another angel," so we've got seven angels that have seven trumpets. Now we've got another angel, it says, "came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." So in the Old Testament, as we've been reading in the book of Exodus, God gave instructions to the nation of Israel in regard to how they were supposed to set up the tabernacle and how they were supposed to conduct themselves in worship before God. And one of the things that we've read about, as we read in the book of Exodus, is there was an altar of incense. And the incense at that altar was a picture of the prayers of the people. God wants people to pray to him. He wants his believers, saints, to pray to him. There are many people today who claim that they pray to God, but the Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So a lost person for sure is regarding iniquity in his heart. He doesn't know the Lord. Iniquity is sin. He's practicing sin, and God is not hearing his prayer. The only prayer that God hears of the lost is the prayer asking for salvation. God hears that prayer because in that prayer, the person is turning to God, wanting forgiveness, wanting God's peace. But you can't ask God for a new car or more money or better health if you're lost. He's not going to hear you because you're lost. So here in our text, we're still seeing a picture here of what was happening in the Old Testament times. The altar of incense was there, and there was this censer, golden censer, and the censer had incense in it, and the smoke of that incense was the prayers of the saints that was coming up before the throne of God. So that's what we have in verses 3 and 4. And then it says in verse 5, it says, "And the angel took the censer." So this is that same censer that had the incense in it. It was a censer that was designed by God to be used for the prayers of the saints. But now we're going to see that this censer is going to be used for something different. So it says in verse 5, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." So now this censer, instead of being used for prayers, is going to be cast to the earth to initiate further judgment. So again, this is a tool that God has made, and he can use it for whatever he wants to. God created man to glorify him. But there are a majority of people in our world today that are not glorifying God. They're living for themselves. They're only doing what they want to do that pleases them. But God made man, and he made man to glorify him. God made the gold that we have in our world today. The gold that is in our world was designed to glorify God. But much of the gold in our world today is being used for selfish purposes. It's used for man, not for God. God made everything that's in our world, the trees, everything. It was all designed for us to glorify God with. But what are we making with the things that God has given us? We make bombs, We take and we make from some of the plants, we make drugs that are killing people. And we make cars, and some of those cars are being driven carelessly, and they're killing people. There's grapes that are grown, and they're turned into wine, which is used to kill people. There's a lot of things that God designed for good, but man has distorted them, corrupted them. And so here in our text, God is showing us that he is going to respond to the wickedness of man, and he's going to judge man for his wickedness. And so it tells us here that the censer is being taken by the angel, filled with fire from the altar that is there in heaven, and cast to the earth. And when it is cast to the earth, the fire is not going to go out, but instead it says that there's going to be voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So all these things are going to come upon this world. Trouble, not peace, but trouble. And so God is giving us this here as a warning to wake us up. Now, thunderings, the other day I was at home studying, and it was cloudy out, and it was rumbling quite steady. We didn't get any rain, but there was a lot of thunder. And apparently, on the other side of Brandon, there was a tornado that ruined some camper trailers and maybe some buildings too, I don't know, but there was a tornado that took place at that same time. All we got at our place was the rumblings. We got the thunder. And thunder is a reminder to us of the power of God. Where does thunder come from? It comes from God. And it's not because they're playing a bowling game up in heaven. There are people that believe that, but that's not true. Thunder is a sign of the power of God. And so as the angel throws this censer to the earth, there's going to be thunderings. And it's going to be a reminder of the power of God. Keep in mind, the Antichrist is ruling on the earth at this time. He's going to be trying to convince the people he is all-powerful. But as he's squeaking with his little timid voice, God is going to be thundering from heaven, reminding the people on earth at that time that they should turn to him instead of fearing the Antichrist. And then it says lightnings. And lightning as well, when you see a lightning storm in our world, especially at nighttime, and you watch that lightning and how it lights up the sky and lights up the earth as well as that bolt of lightning strikes and hits, and it causes fires and so on. And we don't like it when it causes fires. And some of the fires that are burning right now in Canada were caused by lightning. And that's a powerful light that God sends. A lot of energy in that lightning, and it can cause fires. And so as we look, as I mentioned already, the wildfires we have in Canada, they are a type, they're a picture of what God is going to send here with this seventh trumpet, or seventh seal, I should say, is lightnings. And then it says an earthquake. And we have never experienced an earthquake, I don't believe, here in this area, but there are parts of Canada where they have had earthquakes. There are other parts in the world that have had much greater earthquakes than we have. But it tells us that there's going to be this earthquake that's going to be coming upon the earth. And again, I've watched pictures of people that are in an earthquake area when the earthquake is taking place. And they run out of the buildings and they run into the street, and they're trying to get away from any tall building that could fall upon them. Because I can imagine it must be a very scary thing to be in an area where there's an earthquake happening. Because what do you do when the earth is shaking under your feet? Where do you go to hide from that? Where do you go when buildings are falling down around you? Where is safety in a time like that? And again, God is sending all of these things upon the earth at this particular time here in chapter 8 to remind people, even as the world is bent on hating God and rejecting God, God is reminding them they should turn to him. God is always seeking to get the attention of man. He's doing that today. He wants to get our attention. If you're listening to me today and you're not saved, God is trying to get your attention. He wants you to understand your need to be saved. You need to know Him as your God and Savior. You need to stop imagining things and start looking at reality and understand there's only one true God, there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ, and you need to know Him as your Savior. That's the only hope of man. And when you turn to Him and you know Him as your Savior, then you can begin to enjoy His peace and His blessings. As you spend time in His Word and study it and attend a good church and are taught, you will grow in Him and have His peace in your heart. But only if you're saved. That's critical to understand that. Nobody is born a good person. Everybody is born a lost sinner. And we need to come to the place of repentance and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. So that's very important, as this scene is in heaven here that John is seeing, and he sees the seventh seal being opened, and how that these things are happening that are going to be beyond the control of man. And that's important for us to understand today as we look at, as I mentioned already, the fires that are burning right now in Canada are beyond the control of man. They're using water bombers, they're using bulldozers, they've got men on the ground, people on the ground fighting the fires, but they can't stop them. These fires are burning until the rain comes, and then there are some of them that have gone out. They've burned, run out of fuel. But they have burned many houses, and many people are going to be homeless as a result of them. It's a tragedy. It's not something that we rejoice in at all. But one of the things that I've been wondering, because we know that some of these fires have been intentionally set, and we know that one of the goals of the, as we talked about in Sunday school, of the World Economic Forum, one of their goals is that by 2030, they have said, and our Prime Minister has repeated this, by the year 2030, we're not going to own anything, and we're going to be happy. That's the design of the World Economic Forum. It's called the Great Reset. Our Prime Minister has talked about that. You're going to own nothing, and you're going to be happy. That's their goal. We know as well that in Canada, in Edmonton, they have been experimenting with 15-minute cities. We also know that in England, they have been experimenting with 15-minute cities for a long time already now. What are 15-minute cities about? Well, what is the goal of our government? To get us away from using fossil fuels. They want us to use electric vehicles. Electric vehicles don't go very far. And we don't have the electricity grid to be able to power the electric vehicles. So what is the goal of the government? To get us to stop driving. Years ago in Ontario, when we were living there, the Premier of Ontario at that time, people were complaining to him that the roads in Ontario were in bad shape. And he said, "We're not going to fix the roads. We want people to stop driving." He said that publicly. That's the goal. So what's a 15-minute city? Everything that the government says you need, not necessarily everything that you need, but everything that the government says you need will be within a 15-minute radius of where you live. So as these fires are burning across Canada right now and houses are being destroyed, this is just my thinking. You can take it for what it's worth. But I'm wondering, is it possible that the government is going to use this to congregate people in places where they can begin to build these 15-minute cities? They're going to have housing somewhere. So it's just something that I'm wondering, because our government has a plan. Not just our government, the world governments, they have a plan. It's not a good plan, but they have a plan. And so as we look at these things and look at what's happening, there's two approaches that we can take. We can take the approach that the world takes, And we can get our placards out and we can go and march and we can say, I'm not going to give in, I'm not going to do this. And we can be fearful and wonder, oh, I've got these investments, and if by 2030 I'm going to own nothing, what am I going to do with all my money that I have now? Where should I put that money? And we can be worried and frantic, which will help nothing. Or we can look to God and trust Him and realize that if the governments decide they're going to take and rob everything that you have and take it away from you, you're not going to stop them. We know that already. The government chose to take people's money away in the last 3 years. They seized their bank accounts. Some of the people still don't have their bank accounts back. So the government has the power. If they want to come and take everything that you own today, everything that I own, they can do that. And I'm not going to be able to stop them. But I can trust in God to provide for me because I know Him as my God and Savior. And He's going to grant me His peace regardless of what the government tries to do. So as we look at our world and as we look at the judgments that are coming and the judgment we're facing today even, we can have God's peace if we trust in Him. Now, I'm not going to throw my money out to the wind, what little bit I have, but I'm also not going to lose sleep over it and bite my nails off because maybe the government's going to come and steal it from me. They're already stealing it. I'm going to try to live wisely now and try to help other people to also learn to live wisely so that we can have God's peace in the midst of the uncertainties that are building in our world. It's not the same world that it was when I was a young boy. It's much different now. And it's changing rapidly. And I think anybody in my age bracket can see that. The world is changing rapidly. And we don't have control over those changes. And so the only thing that we can do is we can be assured that we are in the right place. That I can be sure and I can make sure that my soul is in the hand of God. And I can do that by being saved. And I am saved. And that's what God wants you to do too. He wants you to be saved if you're not. He wants you to know His peace and His blessing in your heart so that you can live at peace and do what's right in whatever time you have left on this earth. That you can help your children, if you're an older person, your grandchildren also, to know the truth in these last days. Because things are changing. And we're not here to stay. We're going to leave this earth one day. And it's either heaven or hell. And it's a choice that must be made now while you're alive. You can't make it after you're dead. It's too late. So that's why Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock, upon Himself. And this church, this one here, we need to be preaching the truth. We need to help people to see the importance of knowing the true God and having His peace in their hearts so that they can face life now, but also face it in the future. So if you have any questions or comments, we're here to try to help you. If you're here with us right now, or if you're listening via our live streaming, we're here to help you. To help you to know God's peace and blessing. It's available for anybody who wants it. It costs you nothing. It's for those who turn to God in repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have Thy Word. We're thankful for the truthfulness of Thy Word. We're thankful for the peace that we can have in our hearts if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I'm thankful that we have Thy Word, that we can study Thy Word, and that we can be blessed in knowing the true God. And I pray for anyone that's listening that's not saved, that they might see their need to humble themselves and to trust in Thyself, the true God, alone for their salvation, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior of mankind, that they could have Thy peace and thy truth in their heart. We pray, Father, that thy will would be accomplished, that we, those of us that are saved, would glorify thee and seek to help others to know thy peace and blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.